Would you join me in prayer, please? God, we've heard your holy word, your holy instructions, your gifts of heaven. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak through me, speak through your word, and bless the thoughts of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. To come to the passage, and it starts out, therefore I tell you, what's the next part? If you look at the Greek, by the way, and the concept of the word there, it's not so much about saying don't worry. It's saying not to be anxious about your cares. It's not to let the things that you're worried about distract you. But the Greek word speaks, and it's like word pictures of distraction. And Jesus is saying, don't let things and worries distract you. And worry, at its core, is a distraction. And at the end of this passage, it says, but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If we seek the kingdom, you know whose kingdom it is by who is the king, who is the Lord. And if we acknowledge that God is ruling it, this is my Father's world. We acknowledge the authority of God over our lives in the kingdom. It's wondrous. But seek first his kingdom. And we do that, we go to the word of God, and what God calls us to do, we seek to do. What God establishes as directions for our life, we follow them. To not do so is to be distracted. In our modern world, we come to that scripture in a totally different way. We look at the scripture and say, well, which of these still apply? Which of these still apply? Now, I've shared this before, but just for review. When I was in the military, I served and had a report into George S. Patton's junior or third or fourth, whatever it was. They signed up George S. Patton. And when I went to him, I told him which of these orders I thought still applied and which didn't. Well, I wouldn't have done that. I mean, you could work at four if you went to your CEO. If I've got your orders and directions, then I've got to tell you which ones apply and which don't, because I really know better. Because I read this article. If you're in a law firm, you go to the senior partner and you tell them, oh, I see these rules, but they don't apply because I'm more contemporary than you. The kingdom of God is where God is the king. And when we acknowledge the authority of the king and his word and stop trying to change it and stop trying to evaluate it, there is nothing more silly and deciding which of God's word we will follow. Which of his commands will obey? You'll notice on our door is a little red sign. The Ten Commandments are not multiple choice. When I came before my general, I knew that. To report it. It was only a bird colonel. Only. And when I was reporting, I always had some big thoughts because I was an intelligence major. But he wanted to remind me I was still in the military. So he said to me, do I put you at ease? said, "No, sir." And there was a lot of stress that followed. I found it more gracious than not believe it is ruler yet. And the peace is in trusting what God calls us to do and not letting groups and organizations and cool articles and internet articles and stuff control what we believe. Because somebody said it. Do not listen to the King of Heaven. Once we listen to the King of Heaven, once we follow the directives of the Word of God, there's a certainty that God is yet in charge. I've been through some terrible times in my life. And the one I held on to was that God was in charge. Even when I was rebellious and angry, I held on to the fact that God was in charge. And the God that was in charge loved me. So I acknowledged his authority. And most of you know my father was a ship captain. He was the one to serve them too. I did something wrong. The easiest pattern was just to keep saying yes, sir. Now, I'm older than a bunch of the younger ones here. The word whatever was not in my vocabulary. And I don't care, I might not be alive. Now, I was just flaws as well as mine. God is really in charge. And once we acknowledge that and we seek God's way, we follow God's law, and we acknowledge he's in charge, there is a strength there. When we feel no strength. Now, having done that, I want to look at how Jesus wants to keep us from the distractions. And he goes on to say, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life. He's not saying that you shouldn't care. He says, don't be distracted by everything that's happened and not come to your Heavenly Father. Not seek his strength. Not fail to know that your higher power is there for you and will make a difference. Don't worry about your life. Whatever you eat or drink, about your body, what you wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? And look what he's inviting us to do is to look with the eyes of God. When God says, look, he was kind of looking at you with us before. When my wife and I were first married, I remember our first breakfast, and she was talking to me, and I was reading the newspaper. She said, listen to me. And I repeated her conversation, and that wasn't sufficient. She said, and my wife's such a shrinking violet. She said, look, David. Look is to perceive. It's to take again. And we have a video. And it's probably a little long, but not too long. Would you play this video? I thought it was so instructive about looking for Heavenly Father. Hopefully it'll work. We have is a parable. It's a parable of a father remembering the relationship he had with his son, where he had the opportunity to be patient 21 times and to hug.
his son 21 times. And his son forgetting the nature of the relationship until he reads the diary. And he realizes that anything that distracts us from being the children of our Heavenly Father robs us of what we can receive. And for those of you that are moms and dads, we see the opportunity to model that and to give that gift to our children. It's about relationships. It goes on in the passage to say, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you more valuable than that? So it's talking about stuff. He says, can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? He goes to talk about time and tomorrow. I want to tell you a story. And I have a sense of, remember when I said the kingdom of God is like different dimensions? And I don't know where God actually is heaven. I just know that I want to get there. My son and daughter took their grandson and Anna and I, and we went to this train museum. And it was kind of special. So we went around and I saw how much my kid enjoyed, my grandson enjoyed the little trains. And he was on this tiny train and he rode on and all of that. As I was leaving this one exhibit, there was like a museum set up of two uniforms and like a mannequin or something. And they were border patrol uniforms, which also facilitated the trains. And there was an old man between these two uniforms and watching this little screen. And on the screen, they were showing like a film or a video. You know how you see it in different museums. And it was of people trying to escape from communist country, probably from East Germany. And as they were trying to escape, and it showed a guy in the border uniform with a machine gun searching for them. And I looked at this old man. And I realized it was almost as if he had entered the screen. At first, I thought probably what had happened is that he was remembering trying to escape. I mean, because it was so intense, just his whole being. Have you ever been there where he's so focused on something that's like everything else doesn't matter? And he was there, and he was on the screen, and this person's crawling through the grass trying to escape. And I thought, he's been living that. And then I looked at his face, and there was even more pain. And suddenly it occurred to me, and I don't know the truth because I wouldn't have dishonored him where I was by asking him. I would love to take this picture, but I wouldn't have dishonored that. I really think he was the border guard. And he was remembering things that he had to do. And I don't think he was forgiving himself.
almost like he was trapped in his past. You ever been trapped in your past? Things you're ashamed of or whatnot. And trying to get back into the future. In this passage, it says, but seek you first the kingdom of God, where the king is, and his righteousness. Righteousness is doing the right thing. And I think this fellow realized it didn't. Can you imagine how painful it was for this fellow? Righteousness in the biblical concept when we seek the king, with the son of the king. We don't seek our own righteousness. We seek his righteousness. And I so wanted to tell this gentleman about it, but I didn't really know what he was thinking. I was just perceiving. So I simply prayed for the kingdom for him. I would invite you to pray for this old man. That he found the kingdom and God's righteousness. And I would close with just one little story. When I was in Alaska, I worked with a young woman, and I think I told the story about 5 years ago, so it's repetitive somewhat. I worked with a woman, very precious member of my church, and she had like 3 or 4 kids. And she used to say, someday we have to talk. I don't know how many times she told me that. So eventually she came to talk. And when she was a young girl, she desperately wanted the attention of her father. And he was too busy to give it. And so she got attention from men. And she went through 3 abortions. Each time a child was born, she thought of the one of the life that was ended. And we worked for a year to try to help her forgive herself. Yeah, it was just brutal for her. When we finally got to the place that she was ready to forgive herself, she had told me a story in the years worth of listening to her of her grandmother. And she would come home and they'd been out playing, her hands would be dirty. And grandma likes to have clean hands. And she'd say, I don't want to clean it. And grandma would say, your hands into little birds. Can you do that? Just want to see if you're still there. Some of you are. And then grandma would start the water and fold her hands like this. And she said, this is a nest for little birds to draw comfort. She said, fly the birds into the nest. And when she did that, grandma would go like this and wash the hands. And then she'd say, and now the birdies can fly. And so when she was finally ready to let go of her sin to God and receive his righteousness, to the nest of grace was cleansed by his righteousness, and the little birds would fly. Consider how much God loves the birds, and consider how it says he loves you even more than that, because you do seek the kingdom of our Heavenly Father.
of his righteousness, to give you the strength to do the right thing, to give you the grace to forgive yourself when you don't. And if you take it to God, and he washes you.